Hello and welcome back to the Sweet Spot Racing Post betting tipping show with me, Seb Carmichael Brown. You may be wondering where Bruce is this week. Well, after last week's show, he challenged me to a game of golf. So I think he might be on the range somewhere getting some work in. We're joined by James Robinson, someone who needs no practice, PJ professional, also content creator. Yep. We're going to be getting some tips from James and also our resident tipster, Steve Palmer, later on, as well as having a quick look back at Pebble Beach and the AT&T Pro-Am and the European Tour event, the Vic Open. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for coming down. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
So as you said, Seb, I'm a content creator. I'm also a PGA professional. And for me, I just love golf. So I create content every single day on YouTube to help people improve the game and just enjoy the golf a little bit more.
And James, like me, gets to go to a lot of events and sometimes interact and film with some of the golf pros. I'm looking forward to seeing who you've got tipped for the Genesis
Open.
Good tips. Interesting. Okay. So before we do that, let's now have a little look at how last week's events got on and have a little review. Okay, James. So starting off with Pebble Beach, always an iconic venue to go to. I absolutely love seeing the boys play around there. AT&T Pro-Am, celebrity field as well. We had a celebrity who got his second win, I believe.
We did. So Larry Fitzgerald got a win. He played with Kevin Streelman, and it's his second win in 3 years. So maybe the handicap committee may well have a look at him for next year.
I think he might need a little chop there. Always good to see professional athletes transferring to the game of golf. So really enjoyed seeing that. And then looking at the top end of it, I mean, we had Nick Taylor. What a phenomenal performance. Held off Phil Mickelson, who was going for his sixth win at Pebble Beach. Absolutely phenomenal. I thought he had it locked down. When you saw the way he played on Saturday, which has been hailed as an all-time short game display, absolutely, he's getting up and down from his back pocket. It was literally insane. I thought it was nailed on. But then he sort of faded towards the final round there, or the final stage of that last round. And DJ, Dustin Johnson, had an absolutely horrific day. I think he shot six over on the final round. You've got to look. DJ and Phil both travelled over to the Saudi International event, other side of the world, big time difference, not much time to prepare. Do you think that impacted their performances on the final round?
I think it could well have done. I mean, having travelled quite a lot myself with you a lot this year as well, you do get a little bit of jet lag, you do get a little bit tired, and it's just, it's too easy to say, isn't it, that because it was a Sunday, it was the final round, both of them have kind of shot quite a high score, they've not shot the score they would want. Also, you've got to look at Phil Mickelson's diet, I think, as well. He's lost a lot of weight, and this is now, he now hasn't won in the last 12 months, so it's a year since Phil's won. He may have lost some pounds, but he's not winning the money anymore, is he?
No, maybe there's still a chapter in Phil Mickelson's career yet to play out. See how he gets in Augusta this year, interesting. Speaking of Augusta and final rounds, a man who had a very good final round, Jordan Spieth, got the low round of the day on Sunday. Has he finally found that form again?
No.
You're not having it?
No.
I'm a massive Jordan Spieth fan. I'm going to say he has. I've never enjoyed anyone play as much as I do when Jordan's on top form, outside of Tiger, of course. And I actually think Jordan Spieth has the Tiger Woods gene. He's the gene in between his ears, where he's got that little thing under adversity. He's just lost his golf swing.
I think Danny Willett might say otherwise.
Really? Interesting.
Masters final round?
What, for Jordan?
No, for Danny Willett.
Well, Danny Willett, obviously, is a major champion forever now. Do you know what? I think Augusta couldn't have an even better preview this year. It's going to be very, very exciting. Other side of the world, speaking of long distances, the Vic Open, the ISPS co-sanctioned tour event. We had Minwoo Lee was the runaway winner there in the end. Well, runaway, good couple of strokes victory. Yeah. But he looks so impressive in getting that win. And we nearly had a very historic day on the European Tour. Brother and sister, it's a co-sanctioned event across male and female tours. Split prize fund, very, very good for diversity. His sister, Minji Lee, had, I think, just a couple of bogeys coming down the stretch. Nearly had something that's never, ever been done before. But yeah, very, very impressive. Minwoo Lee looks like someone who's going to go on, hits the ball an absolute mile. For not really that big a guy frame-wise, it's going to be interesting to follow his progress.
Absolutely will, yeah.
Be interested to hear from Steve Palmer, who got our first win of the season. Let's find out what our resident tipster had to say about Minwoo Lee's win. Okay, so it was Hee Young Park who did get the win in the women's event at the ISPS Vic Open, just stealing it from Minwoo's sister, Minji. But we did have our first winner, Steve. I know you're very excited about this, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely delighted with Minwoo Lee. I am madly in love with that boy. I think he's one of the most promising players on the planet. He's been a professional for only a year. That was his 19th European Tour start. So he's off the mark at the age of 21. Technically gifted golfer, a swing loaded with power. And I think what he showed off at the weekend, which was a really windy weekend, was that he's got all the shots. You know, he grew up in Perth, very windy in Perth, and the wind didn't faze him one bit. It looks like he can act in all conditions. And he's got bottle. We've seen that he's got bottle because he held an eagle putt at the end of round three to give himself a nice three-shot cushion. And then he dropped only one shot on Sunday in really, really difficult conditions. And that power we spoke about, 4-iron, 7-iron to the 18th green, a par 5 from the 72nd hole with a one-shot lead. really, really impressed with Minwoo Lee. And yes, a 20-1 winner. We're off the mark for 2020.
Fantastic stuff. And we also had a 1 and a 2. My tip, Ryan Fox. He was just a couple of shots back from Minwoo Lee. So definitely favouring the big hitters out there. James, I know you've played over in Australia quite recently. Just how much further does the ball go over there?
It depends. Australia's a big place, first and foremost. It depends entirely where you are. But generally, you're going to have warmish weather. So it does depend on the weather, but also the altitude as well.
Absolutely. Right. So now we didn't have quite as good a week at Pebble on the tipping front. You've got your first win of the year. How did you get on over at Pebble? Because I had mixed fares. I had a tied 14th finish for JB Holmes. Then Snedeker shocked me and he missed the cut. Fuming with it.
Yeah, I mean, Pebble not quite as good. I mean, we almost had 167-1 double with the Vic Open because Minwoo Lee's sister nearly won that one. But Pebble Beach, not so kind. I mean, you had 150-1 winner there, Nick Taylor, that nobody was interested in. The bookies would be very pleased with that. Phil Mickelson, a very well-backed 25-1 chance. As you say, faded out on Sunday. But we did have a little bit of joy with Maverick McNeely, who was our big price outsider. Very, very promising Californian youngster. One firm went 150-1, offering 8 each way places, and he finished tied 5th with 3 others. So, Maverick McNeely, I think he'll win a PGA Tour event in the not too distant future.
One to keep an eye on. And you know what? We nearly had another long shot do well. I was getting very excited over the weekend, or just before the weekend. Jeff Ogilvy, huge Hall of Famer, playing in the Vic Open. He's 150-1 going into that event. He shot a 60 rounds at the beginning to be literally right in the top of the leaderboard and then faltered to a 76-77 over the weekend. So Steve, I was getting very excited about that, but it wasn't to be. We've got a single event this week on the PGA Tour. There's no European sanctioned event. So let's have a look at who we're tipping for this week's Genesis Open. Okay, so moving on to this week, we have only got a single event to preview this week. It is the Genesis Open on the PGA Tour. Fantastic golf course, fantastic field. And shockingly, this is the golf course which Tiger Woods has played more than any other, but it's never got a win at. We maybe need to talk about why that is. Also need to find out a little bit more about the golf course and maybe why that doesn't suit Tiger as much as it should. And find out who your main tip is, Steve. So over to you, mate.
Yeah, Riviera Country Club, 7,332 yards, par 71. It's been used for this event every year since 1973. It's a real stalwart of the PGA Tour. Always been known as a fader's paradise. It favours the left to right shot shape. And the 10th hole is probably its most famous hole, a classic risk reward par 4 where you get a few eagle twos, but you also get plenty of triple bogeys. Classic ball strikers track. And in recent years, big hitters have dominated. Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson, JB Holmes, the big hitters have taken over Riviera lately. But Tiger Woods, not one of them, funnily enough.
Yeah, that does surprise me. Pretty much won everywhere, Tiger, but not happened quite there. Steve, who is your number one pick then for this week at Genesis?
My number one pick is Justin Thomas, who fears absolutely nobody these days. He's become ultra comfortable in elite events. This event's got all of the top 6 in the world playing this week. 9 of the top 10 in the world are playing. It's only Webb Simpson who's not appearing. Thomas is not scared of anyone. He's got 12 PGA Tour titles under his belt now, including a major. He's only 26 years of age. His last one came last month in the Century Tournament of Champions. He's won 3 of his last 9 tournaments. He's had a top 10 finish in 7 of them, and he's had 12 top 20s in his last 13 events. I mean, this is amazing.
Stud-like stats, isn't it?
Yeah, rock solid form, and also top scorer for the Americans in the President's Cup. So, I'd make Thomas my favourite this week. He's absolutely oozing form. He was 3rd in the Phoenix Open last time out, playing with his B game. He admitted he wasn't quite at it, still finished 3rd. He's freshened up since then. And I think he's very keen to win this tournament because it was one that got away last year. The final day last year, he had to play 34 holes in the company of JB Holmes, which is not a very pleasant experience. I mean, JB Holmes, arguably the slowest player on the PGA Tour. And Holmes just ground him down and Thomas ended up finishing runner-up, losing by a shot. So, I can see Thomas avenging that near miss. He's got form figures of 9 and 2 over the last 2 years. I think he adds a W on Sunday.
Yeah, I was surprised to see he wasn't the favourite. A lot of people having Rory just ahead of him. So definitely a bit of value there on Justin Thomas. James, moved on to you. Who's your number one pick?
So my number one pick is a man in form, but he might actually have gone under a lot of people's radar. It's Xander Schauffele. So Xander Schauffele in his last 7 majors, 4 of them are top 10s. Then also he's got 2 second place finishes in his last 4 starts. And the last 2 times he's played at Riviera, he's had top 15 finishes. One of them was tied 9th as well.
Very, very solid stuff. Okay. Well, to be honest, my number one pick was also like yours, Justin Thomas. Just to back up what you said a little bit. First, leads the PGA Tour in tee to green stats, leads it in approach stats. 3rd, proximity to the hole. Riviera, like you said, with those smaller greens. it just everything sets up so well for JT. So fingers crossed he can do well. But my next one down the list is going to actually be Bubba Watson. Like we said, you know, he's a three-time winner there, and he seems to win every even year. He won it in 2014, 16, 18. So he's due every other year, the even years, if you like. He's also pretty good form, tied three at the Waste Management this year, tied for sixth for the Farmers Insurance Open. It goes without saying. Bubba Watson hits it a long, long way. And I think there's been a little bit of rain at Riviera recently. So those par fours, those long par fours, are going to take even longer approach shots in. Just sets up well for him, I think. So Bubba Watson at 23-1 is my going to be top pick, if you like. Steve, who else you got?
My next best is Mark Leishman. The last time Leishman played in California, he won the Farmers Insurance Open. And that was another fantastic field. He beat Rahm, McIlroy and Woods. And I can see a quick follow-up victory. He's got that natural fade that we've spoken about how Riviera favours the faders. Leishman has always been a natural fader. He's got this new maverick driver that he's been raving about. He says he either hits it straight or it fades. He can eliminate the left side of the golf course. So great encouragement for Leishman. He's gone on a keep fit campaign. It's all about Mickelson losing all his weight. Leishman, he likes his beers. He's a bit like me, but he's had to knock them on the head to get fitness back. He says he's stronger at the end of rounds now. So I like the commitment I'm seeing from Leishman. And he's got some Riviera form in the book. He was fifth there in 2016. He was fourth last year. So, I can see a quick follow-up for Leishman.
Leishmania could be sweeping the nation again. What about you, James? Who else you got?
So my second pick is a local lad to me, Matt Fitzpatrick. So Matt's playing quite a lot on the PGA Tour at the moment. But then if you look at his stats for the European Tour, five wins. This is a young lad, five wins. He's yet to win on the PGA Tour, but I think that's literally a matter of time, to be fair. Also, he finished tied second in Abu Dhabi, and to be honest, on the Saturday, it looked like running away with it, but just kind of faltered on the final round. I don't think that's anything to worry about. He had four rounds in the 60s in Abu Dhabi.
It would be lovely to see an Englishman top of the leaderboard if we could this week. All right, then. So my final tip for the Genesis is going to be Patrick Cantlay. He's available at 33-1, and a guy that's such a good ball striker like him, I think he's a pretty good bet there. He has had five top 17 finishes out of his last six starts. He's his seventh tee to green strokes gained, his seventh strokes gained approach, his sixth greens in reg, his fifth in birdie average. He's a guy, I think those small greens, Steve, are going to really, really suit Patrick Cantlay. He's playing very, very well at the moment. He came tied 11th at Pebble Beach just last week, so he's in good form as well. I actually think that this is a guy who's going to win. He's won a couple of times on the PGA Tour already, but I think this field is so strong. And if he wins this, it's going to be a massive, massive confidence for him. He could go into the rest of the year for a very, very strong. I think he's a major player, Patrick Cantlay. He's someone who does get a little bit of stick about his slow play. But when you do get to see a bit of a side of him off the golf course, I think he's a real, real character. I don't think he minds that one bit. I think there's big things coming for him. Steve, what about you? Have you got anyone else for us?
Yeah, I've got two more. Hideki Matsuyama. Hideki Matsuyama, I'm really pleased Bruce is not here because he gave me a lot of stick with this one. He calls Matsuyama the golfer that never wins. It's been a bit of a drought for Matsuyama. His last victory was a five-shot romp in the 2017 Bridgestone Invitational. That was on a ball strikers track like Riviera. I think this layout is a perfect place for the drought to end. He's another fader. It's his natural shot shape is a fade. He was fourth in the 2015 edition. He was ninth last year. And I like backing Hideki Matsuyama when there's Poana greens because I think they're a great leveler. Everyone suffers on Poana greens and on bumpy putting surfaces. Everyone misses putts. It's no secret that Matsuyama's weakness is his putting. I like him on Poana greens. Third place in the 2019 Farmers Insurance Open is a recent example of him thriving on Poana. And last time out in the Phoenix Open, he matched the weekend score of the champion, Webb Simpson. So I think Matsuyama's building nicely for this one. And then my final one, again, like a massive price. Like we had Maverick McNealy did the business last week. This is a similar sort of wager, a similar sort of price. Patrick Rogers, an amateur superstar. He matched the victories record of Tiger Woods at Stanford University. And then he finished ninth in the 2012 NCAA Championship at Riviera. So he's got some course form from his amateur days on this track. And he's only 27 now. I mean, he's still waiting for his PGA Tour breakthrough. It hasn't happened as expected. He's won on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's finished runner-up three times on the PGA Tour, but no breakthrough. But his Riviera form figures for the last 3 years, 22, 26, 15. And those results have come despite him generally struggling elsewhere. So he really has got a liking for this track. And he was ninth in the Farmers last month. So, yeah, 175-1, Patrick Rogers. Well worth an each-way interest.
Can't believe we're using the Korn Ferry wins once again. I thought we got over this with Finau last week. I'm not having it. It doesn't count. But no, to be honest, Steve, that's very, very impressive stats there. Very, very good insight there. I love those long shots, guys. I know we're all about trying to back winners here. And Steve, you got off to a great one with that last week. I love 150-1 each way. I absolutely love that, to be fair. James, you got anyone else?
Tiger's going to do it, isn't he?
Tiger's going to do it. Well, Steve, what do you think about Tigers this week? We haven't really talked about that enough.
I wouldn't rule him out, but his Riviera record is just jaw-droppingly poor, isn't it? He's played there 12 times, never won. He's missed three cuts there. It's the only course he has played more than four times in his career without winning on. And but it just doesn't make sense. I can see why James is interested in him, because it just does not make sense. He grew up an hour away from this course. He made his PGA Tour debut on this course. He's got the course knowledge. It suits faders. He loves hitting those left-to-right cuts. I don't know why he struggled there. I can't get my head around it.
Tiger's
his greens and regulation stats.
His
greens and regulation stats at Riviera are abysmal.
It's a real strange one. You think someone who hits the ball or long irons as well as Tiger does, but he does host this week, right? And that is a lot of additional responsibilities. Not that Tiger's any stranger to extra responsibilities. You know, he's always got huge media attention around him. This event now has become an invitation, which joins the Memorial and Bay Hill, which are honouring, of course, Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer. So do we think that might be it, that extra little bit? But he hosts quite a few events, Tiger, doesn't he? Do you really think that will faze him?
Well, he hosted the Hero World Challenge the other day and contended for that, didn't he? He was obviously President's Cup captain and didn't let that bother him. Three wins from three matches. So, you know, I think Tiger thrives in extra responsibilities. But, he must have, even the great Tiger Woods must have a little seed of doubt in his mind. Why is Riviera, it's a Riviera hoodoo, isn't it?
Imagine if he does win this week. Just think about what it would do to his price going into the Masters. I mean, it's probably already low enough, but I would love to see it. Tiger, good luck, mate. I'm rooting for you. Right, let's now have a look at some of your questions. Okay, so answering some of your questions now came in on social media, starting with Connor Price. Will Rory stay at world number one until the new year? Just become world number one, but it's an interesting one, Steve, because he became world number one without playing.
Yeah. It doesn't seem right, does it? But it's that two-year rolling cycle. I don't know. It seems to flip-flop so quickly, doesn't it? If Kupka does well this week, McIlroy might slip straight away out of it. I think, yeah, to predict he'd stay there till the new year is a bold prediction. But he does feel, it feels to me like he's the rightful number one. I don't know how you feel on that.
Definitely. I think, you look at someone playing as well as he does, he's a top 10 absolute machine. He seems to contend. He's found that consistency once again, hasn't he? He used to be a bit of a streaky golfer, but he's so, so consistent now. And this could possibly be another question. This links me on to really nicely here from Connor Curry. Is do you think that Rory can win the Masters this year? It seems like the event Rory was born to win, James. Why has he not done it?
You see, for me, I'd love nothing more than seeing Rory win the... I mean, it would give him the Grand Slam as well, wouldn't it? A Masters win
would
have all four of them.
Completely.
I think maybe that might possibly be his downfall. I think possibly he's putting a bit too much pressure on himself. Should have won it a couple of times. I'd love to see it, but I'm not sure.
And if it's not Tiger, I would love to see Rory do well at the Masters this year. I think it is just a matter of time before he wins that one. Speaking about Masters as well, another link into a question here from Eddie B. Golf. Is Jordan Spieth now, with a strong finish at Pebble Beach, is he finding the right form just in time for Augusta? Steve, tell us about Jordan.
Yeah, it's exciting. What happened last week was exciting. He's back in the world's top 50, gone from 55th to 49th. And 67 was the best round of the day on Sunday. And his tee to green stats were really impressive. It's not like he did it with an amazing short game. His tee to green stats were really, really encouraging. This is signs of life. And we now need to see whether this is going to be a continued improvement. If it is, I think the Texas Open in the first week of April is a really good opportunity to get that morale boosting win. He needs to get back to winning ways before he can talk about winning majors. And I think the Texas Open is the week before Augusta. So looking into my crystal ball, it's feasible that Spieth can win the week before he goes to his beloved Augusta. So
and he's a Texas homegrown lad as well.
Yep, knows TPC San Antonio. Yeah, that's my long-range prediction. Spieth to win the Texas Open, and then he'll be all the rage for the Masters after that.
Well, I'd absolutely love to see Tiger, Rory and Jordan all competing final day at Augusta. That would be unbelievable. Okay, final question now from Enable Golf. James, who is the most underrated performer on tour?
Xander Schauffele.
Your pick?
He was my number one pick. Okay. And I just think he tends to go under the radar. When you do watch the highlights from the Masters last year when Tiger won, Xander comes up so much. And he pops up in so many highlights that he just doesn't get the recognition I don't think he deserves.
Well, I think he's someone like Patrick Cantlay. I mean, Xander's been a little bit more prolific than Patrick so far, but I also think he's a big-time player. I think he's going to be a real, real force to be reckoned with over the next decade plus. Steve, how about you? Who's the most underrated player out there?
Well, it's an interesting question. There's different levels of this, isn't it? I'll probably stun you by saying Matthew Jordan. Matthew Jordan is an up-and-coming youngster, Wirral boy, and he was impressive last week. I think he finished ninth last week in the Vic Open. He seems to be really good on links tracks. And if you want another long-range forecast, Jordan to win the Dunhill Links Championship. I finished fifth there last year. I think he's a player to keep a real close eye on now. So, it's a difficult one. This is what the game we're in. Who's an underrated player? Who's an overrated player? Look at the prices, bloody, bloody, blah. But Matthew Jordan, I think, is a player to keep your eye on. I'd describe him as underrated.
Interesting. We'll keep an eye on him later in the year, Steve, for maybe some nice long prices each way. Bit of value. Always love a little bit of value, as I said earlier. Guys, thank you very, very much for watching. Leave us a comment below. Let us know who you think is your most underrated player. Be keen to hear your thoughts on it. Thanks very much for watching. James, thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me, sir. Really enjoyed it.
Hopefully get you on another time in the future. Obviously, we'll see how your tips get on this week. Keeping a close eye out. Nothing else to say, guys. Bruce will be back with us very, very soon. Thank you for watching. Remember, gamble responsibly, and we'll see you again next week.